through this reading, but to make reference to it. Let's just have a look. James chapter 1 and reading from verse 19 comes under the subheading Listening and Doing. So let's read from verse 19. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do so, this not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religious is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. I should say the word religious there should breed worship. That's another word for it. If anyone considers himself worshipper and he does not keep rein on his tongue. Anyway, that's by the by. Now this week, I've had quite an interesting week and I've been to the hospital. I couldn't hear what my wife was saying, so I went for a hearing test at the ENT there. If you've been there, you know how pleasant it is to simply wait. I don't know what you're like if you have to wait. Are you good at waiting? No, not many of us are good at waiting. And it was quite interesting because as I looked across the others that were waiting, they had their phones out, the iPads out, some had books. Somebody actually set up office there. She had all her paperwork. So she knew she was there for a long time. And I hadn't thought that that would be the case for me. And I thought to myself, I need to be doing something just to be sat here. I need to be doing something. So I got hold of my phone and started Googling and got a look at the news and so on, got quite depressed. And I thought, I'll stop that. And I continued to wait. And I realized that when you're in hospital or anywhere, doctor surgery or anywhere like that, there is a system going on there. And your number and your name will come at some point, but you have to wait. And it got me thinking, actually, there are times in our lives when we'd like to be somewhere else. We'd like to be transported somewhere else other than where we are in any particular time. I don't like hospitals. And I know that one or two here are a friend of the hospital, aren't you, Brenda? You know everybody. Yes, they know you by name. But I'm very infrequent. I don't go to the hospital very often. But it did make me think about if only I could be somewhere else other than here. And it sort of reminded me about our lives. There are times and situations where we'd love to be somewhere else. I know that Chris and Jill would love to be back on the cruise boat now, but there we are, they can't be. But I don't mean physically. I mean psychologically, in our minds, we'd like to remove ourselves from where we are, maybe to go back to the way things were. And that's what goes on, I think, in our lives. And that's not unusual. In fact, the psalmist said this, my heart is in anguish within me. Not that this happened to me, but the terrors of death assail me. Fear and trembling have beset me. Horror has overwhelmed me. I said, oh, that I had wings of a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. I'm sure that you would agree to that. But there are times, even as believers, and believers that have walked the Christian walk for many years, would love that opportunity to be elsewhere. I know it was Paul who wanted to be with the Lord because he saw that was better by far, but he realized that he needed to stay where he was to help those who are walking the walk of faith. But to be somewhere else other than where we are now, and I'm still waiting. The clock ticks by and nobody's taking any notice of me. I'm stuck there. And then another thought came to my mind. This is a bit personal, isn't it? But another thought came to my mind while I was waiting, that you can't dictate to life. You can't speak into your life and say, I want to do something. You can speak words of faith, of course, but you can't change a situation that you are in. And it may be by choice, or it may be by a decision made for you. And so life for us is like being in life's waiting room when nothing seems to happen. And other people seem to be getting by a lot better than we are, and yet nothing seems to change. And we say, oh, that I had wings of a dove, that I could fly off and be somewhere else. And as I'm still waiting, my mind started wandering. Have you known that? When you can't do anything but let your mind wander. And so I thought I'd be constructive with my mind. My mind only works in a certain direction most of the time, but I thought, I will practice the art of meditation. Now, not meditation on nothing, not emptying my mind and just going into some trance, but meditating on scripture. And I realize it is a practice that I really have overlooked over the years. And I'm sure you have too, because life is busy. Even though some of us are retired, life is busy and we fill our lives with so many things. We can have the TV on, we can have our phones or iPads, all sorts of things that are there to distract us from just waiting and meditating. And so when we look at the book of James, we see here that he says this, but the man who looks intently into the perfect law, into the word of God, that gives freedom and continues to do so, not forgetting what he has heard, but in doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. That word intently means to look into, to lean over, to peer within, to really examine the scriptures, to really allow those scriptures to become living for us. Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Meditate on them. Consider them in your mind. Our mind has the capacity to think about so many things. But we have to discipline it to meditate on Scripture. Thinking or dwelling on God's word means that we cast our minds away from where we are to where he is, to really engage with his word, to engage with him where he is rather than where we are. And there's something positive that we gain from simply doing that. As I say, I was forced to wait, and I was still waiting. But I was making use of my time by just really thinking through scriptures. And as I was doing this, I looked around to the people that were there and I thought, I wonder how many of these folk have the privilege of meditating on the Word of God. I wonder how many Christians are losing out because they're not meditating on the Word of God, or dwelling on the Word, or allowing the Word to enrich our lives. And in this time of waiting, I'm still waiting, by the way, I thought I'd listen to, in my mind, as to the words of Jesus, because I thought the words of Jesus are life, and they have everlasting elements to them. And the word that came to me is from John 14, where Jesus is responding to his disciples, Peter especially, where he says about, "You trust in God, but trust also in me. For in my Father's house there are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you." And I thought, that's exactly it. That the Lord is preparing a place for me and all who believe. You see, whatever our circumstances, the word sets us free, even though we can't change them, because God gives us a perspective that's beyond this earth, which is 80 years, and if by strength a bit more, and we have eternity to live forever. When we meditate on God's word, we realize that we have been cleansed from our sin, that we've become the righteousness of God, that we've become special in his eyes, children of the living God. And the word of God lives in us and through us. And the fact that God says, and Jesus says, "I have gone to prepare a place for you," means that even when we're waiting in life's waiting room, that God is always working. He is always taking the initiative. He's always ahead of us. He's always for us and not against us. I want to read a few verses from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, where he says this in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians and verse 13. "It is written, 'I believe, therefore I have spoken.' With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All of this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes on not as what is seen, but on what is unseen. For the things which are seen are temporary, for that which is unseen is eternal." You see, I think when Paul said, "I believe, therefore I have spoken," that he was speaking words of faith in every situation that he faced. So instead of speaking death, he was speaking life. Instead of speaking negative words, he was speaking positive words. He allowed the word of God really to enrich his mind, his heart, his spirit, so that when he spoke words of faith. And I think that's what Jesus really wants us to do, as he works in our favor, is to allow his word to meditate, to reflect in our minds, so that when we speak scripture. We speak blessing on one another. We speak love to one another. We consider one another better than ourselves, as we read in the scriptures. So James, when he talks about the word, he says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Allow the word of God to work and to instruct our hearts that we might speak it." Paul says in Romans 10 that faith comes by hearing, and we hear through the word of Christ. Our faith in our faith walk enables us to live according to what God says rather than what other people would choose to say to us. So I'm still waiting. I still haven't seen consultant yet. And John 14 really did speak to me. I go to prepare a place for you. Sometimes when the Lord speaks, he speaks to you individually. And it's only you that he's really interested in at that moment of time, particularly when you're going through more testing times than I was the other day. Because these promises of God will always be permanent, and our situation will always be temporary, no matter how hard that might be. You see, because Jesus takes the initiative, when we consider the cross, that he wasn't taken there, but he went there freely. That's the blessing of our God. That's the love of God. That's why God so loved the world. That's why God so loves us, that Jesus went there willingly, because he saw that which was ahead of him, as we read in Hebrews, that joy that was set before him. He endured the cross and its shame. Now, my time of waiting was almost over because my name was called out. I could hardly hear, actually, how bad my hearing was. And I was very thankful, actually. I went in to see the consultant in a much better frame of mind. I must have been smiling, I don't know. He said, sorry to keep you. And I said, no, it's a joy, thank you. You know, it's a pleasure. But Psalm 119 says this, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my pathway. Rarely does the Bible speak of itself. It's just one of those lovely verses that we read in that long psalm, Psalm 119. I have to say that after having my hearing test, I will have to have two hearing aids now, but there we are. I'm told I have to have a scan on my head. That's the next thing. Don't know what they're going to find. But I hope they find the Word of God there, reflecting in there. So let's hear God's word. Let's meditate on it. Let's take time and let that word soak into our spirit so we live according to it. As James says, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, and he will be blessed in what he does. We can be ever thankful to God that we can meditate on his word. And as the Bible says, Joshua, he meditated on the word day and night, and he was prosperous because of what he did. I keep asking that God of our Lord Jesus Christ, says Paul, the glorious Father, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation that comes through the word, that you may know him better. And we cannot dictate to life. We can't change our situation. We can walk by faith, not by sight, but waiting on God can bring us life, and the word of God will bring us revelation, not only to strengthen us, not only to comfort us, to equip us for the task ahead, for whatever lies ahead. That lovely verse that I close with today, and this is the King James Version of Isaiah 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. And may that be for you today, as it was for me, and will continue to be in the days to come. Amen. Amen. Let us pray together.